Billionaires are.
Caleb has a thumb, dick, and balls the size of M&M's.
What's this?
Thumb, dick, Caleb's tiny balls.
It's this old Christmas song.
Little dick, no balls at all.
I'm saying little dick, no balls.
Tiny thumb, dick, Caleb. Thumb, dick, Caleb.
Sounds like they're saying my name.
Caleb's dick is small as a thumb. Thumb, dick, like a thumb.
No, it's an old traditional Christmas song that, like, a
Thumb
lot of
Dick Caleb.
Yeah, a lot of people have recorded it over the years.
Caleb has thumb dick and balls the size of M&M's. Thumb dick, Caleb's tiny balls.
It's beautiful, I think, right?
Little dick,
is this like a character? Like
little tiny thumb dick Caleb. Thumb dick, Caleb. Caleb's dick is small as a thumb. Thumb dick.
Did dick mean something
dick
different
like
back
thumb,
then?
Caleb, come on, I'm trying to listen to this song.
Little tiny thumb dick, Caleb, thumb dick, Caleb, Caleb's dick is small as a thumb dick, like a thumb.
That's beautiful. I just don't hear anything
it
about
takes
Christmas.
Me back. Just really reminds me of my childhood. My parents and I would sing this around the dinner table
Little
when I was a kid.
Little tiny thumb dick, Caleb.
Little tiny thumb dick, Caleb. Thumb dick, Caleb. You don't know that song?
It sounds like you think it's a little funny.
Caleb has a thumb dick and balls the size of M&M's. You don't know this song?
So maybe
I do
thumb
think it's kind of cute.
It meant something different in Old English, but
I don't
balls,
think so.
Like it's clear. I think balls has always meant.
I guess it's sort of modern because it talks about M&M's. I don't know how old M&M's are.
I mean, they're not from ancient England, are they?
No.
Is that another one?
Yeah.
This
how
many
people
a
bit
did
of a
different
dick,
of this?
Dick, this is Perry Como.
Dick, like a thumb, the size of a thumb. Caleb, thumb dick.
Just there's no verses or chorus.
Thumb dick, little dick. It's little Caleb's little dick.
This was played on the radio?
Yeah, my family and I would sing this every Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Thanksgiving too. Okay.
It's a thumb dick, Caleb.
All right, I'm going to Google thumb dick. I don't know what that does.
Caleb, little diddle dick.
You think I would have heard of this? I mean, I love Christmas.
Like a thumb,
and my name is Caleb.
Thumb,
yeah, you think someone
Caleb,
would have told you.
Thumb dick, Caleb, Caleb's dick. Little thumb dick, little dick. It's little Caleb's little dick. Thumb size dick, Caleb's thumb dick. It's a thumb, Caleb's thumb. Caleb's little dick, thumb size dick, Caleb's thumb dick. It's a thumb.
Okay, I mean, I guess it's funny. It's just that, you know, since my name is Caleb, and little tiny thumb dick Caleb is apparently, because I'm Googling it, thumb dick is on Urban Dictionary.
I love that
it
fucking song.
It means a
song.
Stupid, irritating jackass.
Caleb?
Or a person with a penis the size of a thumb.
Yeah, dude. Well, I think your parents might have known about that when they gave you that name.
I don't know. I think
there's
my
one.
Name is...
So we used to sing that one every Christmas. My whole family, like my extended family, my grandma,
you know, all my cousins, thumb dick Caleb,
little tiny thumb dick Caleb. Man, yeah. And there was one more song we all sang. We loved this song so much.
Okay. All right, I like the vibe of this. This sounds like
Dave Ross has a massive penis, and he's a genius, and he's better at basketball than everyone.
That's right,
Dave Ross.
Yes.
That's your full name.
Dave Ross has the biggest hog in the world.
Oh, come on.
The biggest dick in the world.
I love this
song. He's the greatest person who has ever lived.
Not even
Dave
singing.
Dave Ross, he's perfect. His dick is huge. And he's perfect. He
Wait
runs the world.
Yeah,
and his dick
world.
Is big. He fucked every girl and he's perfect.
My grandma and I would sing this every Christmas.
Is that why they named you Dave Ross?
Probably.
Wow, when did the song
come out? I'm surprised they didn't name another one, my dad, Dave Ross, but they just knew that he wasn't perfect like I was going to be.
Dave Ross has the biggest hog in the world.
Oh, come on.
The biggest dick in the world. He's the greatest person who has ever lived. Dave Ross, he's perfect. His dick is huge. And he's perfect. He runs the world, and his dick is big. He fucked every girl, and he's perfect.
Wait a minute. I don't know. It's hard to imagine a whole family singing that. Just it is a little catchy, but I mean, he just keeps reiterating, the same thing.
Yeah. Welcome to Billionaires Are Good, everybody.
Welcome to Billionaires Are Good, the best podcast in the world. I'm sorry if your name's also Caleb. I don't know if you feel the way I do about it, but just when you hear a song with your name in it, it's hard not to think of it as yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like if your name's Stacy and you hear Stacy's mom, you might be thinking about your mom. And if your name's Caleb and you hear Little Tiny Thumb Dick Caleb, you hear like three versions of it. Part of you might start to feel like,
I'm so happy right now. Oh God, I love myself. I just think I'm so much fun, dude. Oh.
Well, the song with your name in it was more positive, you know?
Yeah.
Said you were perfect.
You know, look, man, I'm just out here living. I didn't write it.
Yeah.
I didn't write those words and put them into a website. I didn't do that. No.
Yeah, well, you just found
that website doesn't exist.
Songs,
yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, on Spotify, I found two songs that just happened to be recordings of two of my favorite old traditionals.
Yeah.
Caleb's Tiny Thumb Dick and Dave Ross Has a Massive Penis. Those are just two of my favorite songs from my childhood.
You must have been weird when you met me and you're like, your name's Caleb?
Yeah, and I held it in for a long time. And because I didn't think you'd believe me until I found recordings of them. And
it's still a little hard to believe, but it's, I guess it's easier. When you hear it, you're like, oh, I guess that was on the radio.
Yeah, because what else could it be
except
an old song that everybody knows but you?
Well, it must have been pre-code, because like before like the code, you could make movies that were crazy. And maybe you could say Thumb Dick on the radio.
Code? What do you mean?
You know, the Hollywood code, when when they're like, you can't do this, you can't do that, no nudity, no cursing.
I think it
must have been the same with music. So Thumb Dick, I guess that used to be just a popular song.
And then
by the time the 30s rolled around, they didn't want people saying Thumb Dick on the radio.
Yeah, and when rock and roll showed up, they just cleaned up everything.
Right,
and they got rid of all the Thumb Dick songs. It used to be a pretty Thumb Dick heavy thing, pop music.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, everyone
How
had
much
a
is
thumb
that
dick.
Doggy in the window, Little Tiny Thumb Dick.
Little Tiny Thumb Dick. Yeah, what, six little monkeys jumping on the bed.
I don't know which is worse, to be a stupid, irritating jackass, or to have a little thumb dick.
Hand in hand. You know, I don't know anyone with a thumb dick who doesn't fucking suck to be around, you know?
Well, you can say that again, brother.
Yeah, dude. And I know all my friends' dick sizes.
Yeah.
I've asked and they all tell me, and I believe them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard guys lie about that sometimes.
No. Adam Conover, thumb dick.
Oh, and, no. He ruins everything.
Sam Talent, thumb. Yeah. Andrew Polk, thumb. You.
Okay.
You've heard the song.
Well, yeah, but that was written before I was
Graham
born.
Graham K, thumb dick. Django Gold, thumb dick.
Whoa, you're naming names.
I'm the only person I know with a long dick. This bit has got to end. This is too... I don't care how big anyone's dick is. It's just fun to say.
Welcome to Billionaires Are Good, everybody.
I feel bad now. Fuck. Hey, look, if you're out there and you got a tiny dick, just know that it actually is the motion of the ocean or whatever.
This would be fun. Look up all the guys that Dave named. That's Django Gold, Graham
K. Tell them I said this.
And just send them, tweet at them an emoji of a thumb. Like, just send them the thumbs
up and
make them guess what it is.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
There are little dicks out there.
I've also heard about big
dicks out there, and those apparently suck too.
I've heard a lot of those are optical illusions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
It almost seems like a lie, doesn't it? When I was shut the fuck up, dude.
Foot long?
Eat shit.
That seems unlikely.
And also, for the record, I want to say, if you got a little dick, I want to hang out with you. And if you have a big dick, I don't. And I mean it. Fuck you, big dick assholes, with your fucking thinking you're all great.
I don't know if we want to split
our
audience.
Up, dude. Shut up.
Man. You were in such a good mood when we were listening to your favorite childhood songs.
That's right, dude. Well,
you got very agitated.
Well, I have a big dick, man. Right. And I...
Well, it looks like it's ruining your life.
Oh, man. Anytime I like make any jokes about anything that could be in like a person's actual experience, eventually I feel kind of bad. It's okay.
That's part of it.
We
You're just doing
you.
What you do.
That's right.
You're like the new Tony Hinchcliffe.
I am, dude. I'm really mean to people for
pretty,
what they can't help
that's
about
what
themselves.
That's what you do.
Yeah,
you can't
man.
Be mad if someone does what they do.
I hate people with thumb dicks. I hate the Irish.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm also Irish.
Lawyers.
I'm not a lawyer.
Not a thing that you can help.
Yeah.
People with green feet.
Who's that?
I don't know.
All right. Yeah, I think you're just in a you're in a weird mood.
Maybe.
Green feet. I'm starting to think those songs were fake, Dave.
No.
Talking
no.
about green feet over here. I think you used AI to create a bunch of fake songs about me.
No.
Okay.
I'm Dave Ross.
And I'm Caleb Sinan.
Follow me at Dave the Ross. Follow him at Caleb Sinan, S-Y-N-A-N, on all the stuff. BillionairesAreGood.com is our website.
It's a good website, too.
It's fun. I made the website.
Dave made it, and it looks... I've gotten so many compliments on your website and yeah. The way you produce the... I haven't gotten any compliments on... what I have, the meager accomplishments I've
little
had.
Little tiny thumb dick, Caleb.
Yeah, a lot of good compliments on that website. Check it. It's one of the best websites in the game.
It's a fun website. I had fun making. I actually sort of recently, I like, for a long time, I've made all my own stuff. I always like make my own logos, and I like make all the production for this and like produce sketches and all that shit. And it's always sort of been like secondary to stand-up to me. And then recently... it just kind of hit me that I've been doing all this shit for 15 years, and I remade my website and turned it into a portfolio. And I really am saying this. If you're interested in my stuff, if you like my stuff, go to DaveToTheRoss.com and like click through the portfolio. Because I really like, I don't know, stand-up was always my main thing. Comedy will always be my main thing. But I love to make this shit.
And he makes funny websites.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, those are on the website, too. So, I don't know. If you're interested in seeing more of my shit, go look around. I would love for
they see your website you made for Tim? That's my that's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, tim.manly.website. Here's the
thing. Please go there. It's it's one of the hardest I've ever laughed at like a visual joke.
So I made this thing. I posted this video where I was like, I'll make any comedian a website for free under the following conditions. One, I can take as long as I want to make it. Two, I can be mean to you. And three, you can't give me any notes whatsoever.
Tim.manly.
Tim.manly.website. And Tim McLaughlin, who's super funny, was the first person to say yes. He was like, yeah, whatever. I don't give a fuck. And I just made a website that says, I am racist. And there's a picture of Tim.
There,
book me.
See that.
Yeah, he held it up on the
big
YouTube.
Smile.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm getting into doing.
A racist man. Book me.
Yeah, it says book me, and there's a link to his Instagram. And I made one for Max Fine that says, Max Fine, I am in a dark room.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and it's
that
like all
too.
About how he's trapped.
Yeah, so do it. Dave will make you a website.
I've been saying that I'm going to be touring way less, and in doing that, I'm going to be at home making shit more. So I don't know. Like, follow me on the stuff if you like shit like that. Tell people that I make stupid
tell
shit like
people.
That.
Tell people. Spread the word,
dude. I am trying to figure it out. Like, I know a handful of comics got into doing sort of, like, in the world, like, weird bits. And I love doing that shit. And I'm trying to figure out what, like, a big version of that would be to sort of, like, get people's attention, you know? So
well,
if you have
you
ideas,
could,
you let me know.
You know, I think it'd be really fun to genuinely join a politician's campaign and, like, earn trust.
Okay.
And then... do that type of shit and like troll them and ruin them.
That would be really funny. If
that'd be pretty great.
Like, I was saying two episodes ago, if like the greatest thing Tony Hinchcliffe could have done would have been if he went on stage at the Trump rally and just like shit on Irish people for no reason. And everyone's what is going on?
It is funny that Irish is the funniest right now in America. I don't know the situation in actual Ireland, but right now in America, it's just very funny that you can say anything about Irish people and Irish
Italians.
People are like fine.
Yeah, Irish people and Italians are finally like not getting kicked by the world.
Yeah.
And have become like presidents and shit. And yeah, we're all like, oh, cool. We can shit all over the Italians. Nice.
Yeah, it doesn't get awkward. It's just Italian and Irish jokes are always funny.
Yeah,
and the
totally.
Accents, funny accents.
Yeah, totally.
We're just having a good time. You bunch of drunk
the
pieces
president,
of shit.
And I'm making a pizza in the Oval Office. I make an oval pizza for the Oval Office.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Yeah, it's
man.
A good time.
Yeah, it is a good time to make fun of Italians. That's a really good point.
Irish
dude.
And Italians. I hope we keep it that way. It's good to have. It's good to have. I think for the culture, you know.
Yeah, dude, you got tour dates coming up in fucking December, bruh.
Oh, I'm all over in December. You can catch me The first weekend in December, that's December 5th through the 7th, I will be at the Boulderado in Boulder, Colorado. December 12th through the 15th, I'll be at Go Bananas in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I will be at the Riot Comedy Club in Houston, Texas on December 20th and 21st, and then January 3rd and 4th, I'll be at the Comedy Loft in D.C., so come out to that. And I go ahead and tell you, February 7th and 8th of 2025, I'll be at the Comedy Fort in Fort Collins. So
oh, wow, hell yeah,
yeah,
dude.
it's gonna be fun, man.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But yeah, come out to the shows. That'd be great. It's always good. There's always a few what's it called fans and a few billionaires are good fans that come out.
Yeah, dude.
And then usually they're there for Dave, and they're like, "What the fuck?"
That's not
and,
true.
No, but yeah, it's great to see y'all out there, and it always makes me happy. So come on out.
Fuck yeah, man. I have a little bit of touring next year around. Like, I'm going to be taping a thing. Ben Roy and I are doing a split hour.
Nice.
Yeah, and so I'm going to, like, be hitting the road in August and September next year. But other than that, I'll just be at home in New York. So come see me. I think I'm going to get my show started back up. Follow me at Dave to the Ross on Instagram to see me do shows.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Also, go to shop.billionairesaregood to buy dumb shit. Patreon.com.
Oh, we got all kinds of shit.
Patreon.com/billionairesaregood for bonus episodes of our Patreon podcast, Moon News.
Oh, dude. Moon News is so fun.
Yeah, dude. I can't believe it took us so long to make it an entire podcast.
Well, it was starting to eat up a lot of a lot of my brain. And it was just like, well, we might as well, because every week I'm looking at the Moon News and looking at pictures of the moon.
Truly. Just to give you a little taste.
Moon News. Here we go again.
News about the moon.
And then we would do some news about the moon. But
yeah, we had a whole thing. Remember, we had a second moon for a while. Turns out it was just a small
size
asteroid.
Of a bus.
Yeah,
bus moon.
It's like a bullshit
it's
tiny
not really
moon.
A moon if it's the size of a bus.
Yeah, you can't really call that a moon.
Buses are actually pretty big, I would say.
Yeah, but they're not moon. You don't see a bus and go, look at that moon.
But then compared to a moon, yeah, it's like calling a spoon a door.
Yeah, it's just not what that is. Looks like our house has two doors. One of them's a spoon.
Yeah, a bunch of doors in the cupboard there. Why don't you look in? Man, we got so many doors.
Yeah, it's just like it's like the old Lincoln quote. If you call a horse's tail a leg, how many legs does it have?
Yeah, you exactly. Well, then you gotta and then you gotta cheat on your wife with
exactly.
a man. That's what Lincoln said.
They had to edit some of his quotes.
Everything he said, 4 score and 7 men I fucked to go. And they're like, write it down different. Write it down differently. This is like a bunch of people standing around in front of like wherever he was talking, his house in Illinois.
Yeah.
Just in the mud. Just like, what's he talking about? I think he freed the slaves, but also, what was that thing about fucking 7 men? Or 87? Was it 87 men ago?
Yeah. 4 score.
This week, we're talking about, last week, our number one, we talked about our number one billionaire, the one we're probably biggest fans of, Mark Cuban.
And that's changed now?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm still a Mark Cuban number one guy.
No, but remember, he heard the episode and he messaged us and told us he was going to fucking kill us.
He did, yeah. He said he was going to, this is the direct quote, I'm going to take you out back and hit you with a shovel.
Yeah, so we're a little afraid of Mark Cuban now.
Yeah, I don't know how expensive, he might have like a really dangerous shovel. His shovels are probably way
bigger. He does own a shovel company.
Yeah, totally.
From Shark Tank.
Right. Cuban shovels.
Cuban shovels. I'm not happy about it. So
yeah, he's gonna beat our ass with a shovel.
But
so,
I think our billionaire this week is a
solid guy.
Number one, yeah.
There are a bunch of things I like about this guy. We're talking about Warren Buffett this week. Warren Buffett, he's a really interesting one because he is one of the richest people in the world. Has been
right
one
now.
Of the richest people. Number 7 now, actually.
Oh, he went up.
Yeah, he has been one of the richest people in the world my entire life, and you never fucking hear about him in the regular news.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's really into having a low profile and not spending a lot of money. He's the CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, which is a company that you only ever really see their logo on real estate signs.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds good. It's like, yeah. It doesn't sound like an evil company like Oracle or Dominion or something.
Exxon.
It's like, yeah. Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah,
welcome
totally.
To Berkshire Hathaway. I'm Warren Buffett.
This is Hathaway. We own this pile of grass and we're going to help you carry your groceries.
And he just has this way about, he just looks very grandpa and he looks, you know, like Santa's brother.
Yeah,
and, he does. He just seems like a fun guy. He got a nice smile. He doesn't have that billionaire, like, I'm going to dominate the world smile.
Totally.
He just seems sweet.
We're
lives in the same house he bought when he was a young man.
Current net worth as of October 30th, 2024, $143.2 billion.
Come on.
I know, dude.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Who do you think is number eight now?
Ooh, okay. Larry Page. That's my best guess.
Okay.
Let's ooh, see. I know one is Elon, two is Bezos.
Number one is still Elon. Actually, Bezos was overtaken recently by Larry Ellison.
Larry Ellison.
And who is he? Oh, of Oracle. That's right. Bezos is three. Zuck is four. Bernard Arnault, who we got to do soon, is five.
Yeah.
Larry Page is six. Warren Buffett, seven. And Sergey Brin.
Damn, what's Sergey do?
Eight. Google.
Oh, he's smart.
Google.
I would
CEOs.
Have thought of that if I, you know, I was too young.
Me too.
But I remember when Google came out, I was like, I could. This is a good idea.
Amancio Ortega, owner of Zara.
What is the clothes?
Yeah, the women's clothing company.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good business to be in.
He's number nine. Number 10 is Steve Ballmer.
Oh, yeah.
The angriest snowman in history. Yeah. He was the person who invented snowmen being bald, actually.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, totally.
So Warren Buffett, I was looking up some stuff about him, and he pretty much has the same, like, dad-ass financial advice that, like, Dave Ramsey has, where he's like, well, if you never have debt and you save your money, you'll have it.
Totally.
And it's like, but how'd you get $143 billion? He's like, well, you just buy stocks and never sell them. And
yeah.
Like, never?
What? Yeah.
Yep, never.
It is a weird thing where, like, part of his business model as like himself as a business is being frugal.
Yeah.
And it's just weird to think that being frugal could help make you a billionaire. Like that just doesn't seem right.
Right.
But he bought a house in 1958 for $35,000 in Omaha that is now worth a bunch of millions
of
dollars.
And it's still his house.
And it's still his house. He's lived in it. So he was just like, hey, you buy a house and it's a comfortable house and then you never move. And it's like, what? How the fuck is that true? Like, if that were equivalent for me, it'd be like, well, I got a two-bedroom apartment in Fresno, California. There was a two-bedroom, and it cost $1,400 a month, and then I lived there for 90 fucking years.
It's just so funny because it's just so different than Zuckerberg, because Zuckerberg's like, well, you find out what people will be addicted to, and then you make it.
And then you use that to control them.
Right.
You and get them addicted to something that steals their information, and then you sell that to countries.
And Warren Buffett's like, well, he always recycle your cans.
Yeah,
what?
Totally. Yeah.
You have 140. You saved $143 billion.
17% of my wealth is all from cereal boxes.
Did he buy his car with hail damage?
Yes, he currently drives a 2014 Cadillac XTS that he bought with hail damage.
Smart.
I mean, he's like, I mean, I agree, but like,
yeah,
I don't know. And Mark Cuban, who we thought was our favorite, has a bulletproof Mercedes.
Pretty good.
I do love, he has a beach house.
Right, that's smart.
He bought it in 1971 for $151,000.
These house prices are just killing me. Killing me.
$151,000 in 1971. It's a beachfront property in Laguna Beach. So that's a little bit of an extravagance for sure.
Yeah.
And now it's worth millions and millions of fucking dollars. But it's not like Mark Cuban also has, literally has a beach house in Laguna Beach. And it like, it's like massive and also has an infinity pool and all kinds of crazy shit.
Man, once you have an infinity pool, you're a different person than you were before, I think.
Why has it got to be an infinity pool? Just because it looks cool?
I love the Brian Regan joke where he's like, what are you trying to fool your guests? Where they're like, why, Harry, where does your pool end? Like, why is that so impressive? Like,
yeah, all pools have an edge. You just can't see the edge, and so it just drops down into the
right
into the depths of the earth.
Yeah, well, I don't see how it's set, but I don't even know if I've ever been in an infinity pool.
I have.
How is it?
It's long.
Infinity.
He has a private jet, and the name of the private jet is the Indefensible, which is funny. That means that he literally thinks spending money is wrong.
Yeah. But I bet you can convince yourself when you're a billionaire, like, but I do so much good with my money. I give so much of it to charity that I guess I deserve a private jet.
Well, like I was saying about Cuban, I personally think, I don't know, like, I definitely think that we should share all the money. That's like, and people call me whatever the fuck, Pinko or whatever. And I'm like, so.
People call you a Pinko?
I guess not.
I've never heard anyone say that about you.
Specifically,
people say a lot of shit behind your back. None of them are saying pinko.
Yeah, you know, people call people who think about politics like me a commie, pinko, fucking whatever, idiot. Yeah. I don't know. And I don't, but I don't think I'm irrational about it, is my point. Like, I think in my heart, in my like, in like the softest parts of me, I just want us all to be all right. I want us all to share. Money is fucking bullshit. We're all people. We should share it all. But I also think it is capitalism, and if you ended up making a lot of money, you should have a little bit of fun spending it.
A little bit, and yeah, you know, make your. And I've heard a lot of them are like racked with guilt.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And I'm sure they deal with it with their billions. But yeah. There's no way you can't notice it when you're like living in like a penthouse, and you're like,
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, I mean, it is. I mean, I guess if I really were to be totally real, it'd be like, yeah, I don't think that he should have a beach house because almost no one in history could have ever had one.
Right.
But also, he's better than most. He does give most of it away. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
Warren Buffett does give a ton of it away. It's like, you know, that's always good to hear because there's some who have given nothing.
Nothing, dude. Totally.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, man.
I always feel bad whenever I do my taxes and they're like, did you donate anything to charity? And I'll be like,
No, I didn't even donate anything to me, though. So why don't we fucking do that first, buddy?
I do have a negative net worth, so
I think it's time.
Uh-oh.
Where's the list? This is just the top 4. Help me out here, buddy. What the fuck is this? All right. Well, maybe we're not going to be able to do it this week. But we like to single out one of the
poorest billionaires.
One of the poorest billionaires every week.
Because there's always a few billionaires that are just barely, like, by the skin of their teeth, they're just, you know, the poorest you could possibly be and be a billionaire. Like, they have $1 billion, and which has got to be stressful, because you're sitting there like, oh, you know, you get on the list, then you get off the list, and your family calls, and like, is everything okay?
Exactly.
You know, do you need anything? And you just have $999 million, and you're like, oh. This is embarrassing.
The 499th richest person in the world currently is Garrett Camp. $6.33 billion.
That's pretty low.
Co-founder of Uber only has $6.33 billion. It's just like, what are you even fucking doing, dude?
Did I tell you what happened with me with Uber?
What's that?
So I take an Uber from the airport, right? And it was supposed to be $43, I'm pretty sure. And I was like, sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then the guy's phone died. And he's like, shit, can you just use your brain to get me to your house? And I'm like, yeah. Uh-huh. And so his phone's dead. So his phone doesn't kick back on until he gets home.
Yeah.
Way later.
Yeah.
And the Uber charged me $186.
Whoa.
So I call American Express because Uber won't let you call anyone. You go, I have an issue. And they go, you can't. There's no one to call. Like, they won't do it. I think they just were like, look, it's an app. If you got a problem, you use the app. And I'm like, but I was charged $140 extra. What the fuck? So I couldn't get a hold of them, and they'd be like, no. And everything you click is just like when your phone shakes, and it's like, no.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, representative? And they're like, no, we don't do it. And so I call American Express, and they're like, okay, we get it. And I wrote a long thing about exactly what happened with screenshots and all the evidence. So American Express took $140 off. And so the Uber app, every time I try to order an Uber, is like, no, you have to pay us that $140. Like, 'cause
no,
they know.
No way.
And I was just like, if you just let me get on the phone with someone, I can explain exactly what happened, and you can contact the driver. I have the evidence of it. But I had to create a new Uber account because of that. And it's just like, let me get on the phone with somebody. But I think they do save a lot of money.
Caleb, you have been having just the worst luck.
Oh, yeah.
Humanly.
Did I talk about getting robbed on the podcast?
You didn't. And can I say, before we get in, you get into it, because just to preface, so you, if you don't know Caleb well, you might not know. Mm-hmm. Caleb has the greatest attitude of anyone I've ever met. And I really mean that, man. And I, it's commendable in many ways. It's really great. And one of the reasons for it is like having a good upbringing, mm-hmm. in which your parents like clearly worked hard on teaching you about the world and making you feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. And so Caleb calls me the other day and he tells me, like, he's really been going through it. A lot of fucking bad things happened in the past year. And then a bunch of little things, like a bunch of big family tough stuff has happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And career right now is hard for all good comedians. And then just all this little shit started happening. And I told him, I was like, dude, your life, this is like Final Destination for depression. Yeah. Like God was like, everyone has to be sad. And this guy hasn't had any. And come hell or high water, I'm going to make this kid fucking suicidal, dude.
Yeah, the other shoe dropped. I had a long, good time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was like somehow I was born like happy. And, you know, high school was easy. I didn't really get bullied. I had a great time. You know, I had fun in college. Then I started stand up. I dropped out.
Yeah.
You know, stand up went very well. you know, I was not good at it, but people were really nice to me because I was very young and, you know, ended up getting lucking into, I luckily got an audition for Montreal, you know, I got on Conan. Like, there was a while where it was like, things are, you know, I was working hard, but I was getting lucky with certain things and I was very, things were going good. And then, man, the last little bit,
dude,
it was, I can't say every single thing that happened, but, I had a pretty bad thing happen.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I was robbed at gunpoint.
It was like, he had like a bad career thing happen during a really bad career year.
Yeah.
And tough fucking family year.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I'm going to go hang out with my friends. And then a guy's like, give me everything you like, everything you own that you like. They took his Apple Watch.
They took my Apple Watch.
Phone, headphones, money, credit cards, and ID.
Oh, yeah. The ID is just the...
Like, why do you even want that? Dude, give it back to me.
And I talked to Max Fine, our buddy Max Fine, and he was like, dude, I got robbed in Atlanta one time. And I was like, shit. And I was like, I really wanted to ask him for my ID, but it's like, you know, someone's robbing you at gunpoint. They're going to take the ID. Like, who's going to be like, here you go, buddy? And he goes, that happened to me. Like, the guy that robbed Max handed him back his driver's license and was like, this is going to be a pain in the ass, so I'll just give you this back. And I was like, shit! So my guy didn't even do that. Some robbers are giving you your ID back.
Dude, give it back, man. But my guy didn't.
And so, yeah.
And now this Uber shit, it's just like, fuck.
And then yesterday, so I had to get a new phone because my phone was stolen. So my phone company just shut my service. They were confused, and so they just... lines got crossed. So it's in the middle of we just get done recording. I got to go do two shows in New York where I don't live, and I got to get on the subway, and they shut my service off.
Dude.
So I have to use Dave's phone and be like,
dude,
please turn it back on. I paid my bill. You can check my account. I don't know why this has happened. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they're like, we're going to put you on a brief hold.
It's going to keep, man. I feel like tomorrow he's going to be like, well, I'm allergic to meat. It's just going to be like, oh, man. Beer gives me a migraine, just like...
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, but that's how it goes sometimes. Sometimes you have, I remember during COVID, I remember people being like, this is like, you know, I can't believe I have to stay in my house. This is the worst thing. And I remember joking around back then and being like, oh, you never had a whole year that was bad? Some people have never had a whole year that was bad. And sometimes I will still feel that way. You ever meet somebody who like, you know, they're very successful and they have a beautiful family? And then you find out not only are their parents still alive, but both sides of grandparents.
Whoa.
Like, well, my granddad's 110 and my grandma's 109.
It's like, ooh, buddy, it's coming.
And I'm just
man.
Like, you haven't even had, my cat is a 47. She's the oldest cat in the world. And you're just like, damn, you've really had a good run,
man.
Of, you know.
You've never even had one of those days where every woman is mad at you.
Oh, I've had a bunch of those days. Oh, man.
Those are hard days.
Those are hard days.
Yeah.
I always wonder, because it's happened to me, and, you know, a lot of times it won't even be a misunderstanding. It'll be, well, yep, I
well,
did.
Oh, yeah. It tends to be your fault.
I did do that.
Everyone, it's like, yeah, I definitely did that wrong, and I'm so sorry, and I guess I'll just feel bad until you forgive me. Like, yeah,
that's a good, that should be like one of those knit things you put on the wall.
Yeah, totally.
In this live, laugh, love, and then I guess I'll feel bad till you forgive me,
right next to it. But it's like sewed all terrible. There's a bunch of upside down crosses on it and shit.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I remember one time, I remember one of the first times I felt that horrible, horrible feeling was when I successfully hid my report card.
Ooh.
For a long time.
Oh, boy. And it got found?
And then my parents did a little like detective thing where, you know, I think I've outsmarted them. And they're like, hey, son, anything you want to tell us? And I'm like, I bet it's a report card. I don't know. I'm like 7.
Yeah.
And they're like, I noticed, you know, they're having a good time.
Yeah, right.
Clearly I'm sweating and sweating and lying.
Yeah.
I'm like, report card? And they're like, we just talked to your teacher. She said she gave you a report card 2 months ago. And I was like, ah. Oh, hey, oh, really? 2 months?
Like, really? You're not even old enough to have experience lying.
Yeah, I don't even know how to do it. Yeah. Come up with a plausible,
and you don't know how to act.
Story.
You don't know how to have the fake. Like, oh, interesting. Yeah, you're not even like old enough to be manipulative yet. You're like, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever she like, how crazy would it have been if you were good at it?
Right.
Oh,
then
wow.
You'd be afraid.
That's interesting. I believe you, but she didn't give it to me. So, I don't know. I must have gotten all A's.
Yeah.
Anyway, what'd you say?
I think I just broke down crying and shame. And then I think I still got a spanking. That was always something I hated as a kid where I'd be like, well, I already feel bad. Why do I have to also be like, these are the rules? But yeah, it was like that feeling as an adult really sucks.
Yeah. Man, there is almost no worse feeling than, like, I think about grief is like the ultimate horrible feeling. But right below that, someone being mad at you and you did it.
Yeah.
Sucks, dude. It's like, yep. It's the worst, man. You just like, you have every muscle in your body is like, tell them you didn't do it. You know what I mean?
Right,
Because you don't want to feel that horrible feeling of having done it, and they know, and they're justifiably mad at you. So yeah. I definitely, man, I think that I am better than many at not being defensive, but I definitely instinctively get defensive first. I do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think, and I like, and then eventually you just have to be like, not only did I do it, I said I didn't for 10 minutes.
Yeah. I was scared. And
I was scared. And
deep down, I guess I'm not as good as I want to be. But
yeah, I'm so scared that in certain instances, I'm very cowardly. So I'm an afraid, pathetic coward who did something wrong.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
One of my favorite stories from history is that, and this is confirmed by several sources, is that Bill Clinton, I don't know how true, I know that, I don't know if it's true because of why they say it's true, but I do think it's true that Bill Clinton knew while Hillary was asleep that the Monica Lewinsky story was going to hit the news. He knew it before her. So she's asleep and he was literally pacing around like, oh shit, and like practicing, like, how do I tell? Because,
whoa.
And if you're one of the people that thinks the Clintons have an understanding and they're both evil demons, then she would be, she's still going to be mad though, because he's fucking up their business.
Their thing, yeah.
Even though, you know, whatever you think. But it's just, it's so funny to me to imagine Bill just being like, oh shit, fuck, oh
yeah,
God.
Totally.
Like pacing around, like, yeah, oh, and then, like,
should I ride my bike?
Hey, good morning. Oh, good morning.
He's playing saxophone. Just like, yeah, what is the thing that, yeah. I mean, I also bet you that, yeah, I don't know. It's weird, right? Because he's also notoriously
such a sweet talker. Like, he can just sweet talk anybody. And I wonder if, like, she... Because by then, they'd been together a long time, and she probably was the one person he couldn't sweet talk.
Oh, yeah.
And
I imagine she's like, almost
what's
impervious
going on? Because also, like,
you got a great
with
smile.
Me, like, you know, if you're married to me, like, obviously, like, I'm a person, I'm going to make 1 million mistakes every day. Mm-hmm. But my mistakes will be, like, the stakes of the mistakes will be just interpersonal between you and me.
Yeah.
I said something wrong. I spent money I shouldn't have spent. Mm-hmm. I, like, fucked up in basically how I talked, probably. I don't know. But with him, the stakes are like, you fucked a kid.
Yeah, that's bad, Bill.
I didn't even
think we had to talk about that.
Yeah, like, and you're the president, and you fucked of legal age, but a fucking kid.
Yeah.
Who not only works for you, is an intern, is an innocent intern, that you cheated on me with while being president. It's just so, like, honey,
what could the, there's no defense.
Like, yeah.
Well, shit.
Even if I did
something. I bet this is pretty close to what she said.
Yeah, dude.
Like, well,
Bill, you know, couldn't you just cheat on me with an adult? You know, like, at a certain point, you're like, God damn, dude. Oh, God.
I bet it's so funny, too. I'm imagining James Carville just being like, literally, I put it on the cork board. Don't fuck the interns. I put it in all caps.
Don't fuck the interns.
It's rule number one.
And you know what? I put on their cork board, don't fuck the president. It's like the main fucking thing, dude.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens when you, like, elect a horny manipulator.
Oh, boy.
Everyone's trying to
fuck.
Looking
back, it looks so obvious.
He's like, ugh. Yeah, everyone's literally like, I would fuck him. I literally think that at a certain point, my mom and dad had a conversation where my dad was like, I'm feeling jealous feelings about Bill Clinton.
Oh, I bet that was around the country.
God. You want to, can I tell you the most embarrassing thing I've ever said to Ellie?
Oh, hell, here we go.
And because here's the thing. I love my relationship with her. If we're being totally real.
You said y'all are getting close.
Yeah, we're finally getting close.
That's great.
No, it's so good. And look, I have dated a bunch of people. A lot of them are great relationships. This one is the best. This one is by far the best. It's so great. And it's so great for all the reasons that you think on the surface. We get along. We have a lot of fun. We're so attracted to each other. But also, we, like, deal with feelings between each other very well. So we nip feelings in the bud. So anytime I'm feeling something, even the littlest thing, unless I think it's like I can roll by it and it'll just fade away, I'm like, you don't say it, because we're, like, trying to keep our relationship, like, strong and safe forever. So we want to make sure to not build resentment ever. So I was.
Oh, boy.
This is so embarrassing. But
I can't wait.
And she, I don't remember if she said she talked about it on her podcast yet. The worst podcast in the world.
Oh, it sucks.
Oh, it's horrible. But I was like, so she's a huge. She's a huge fan of T-Pain.
Okay. There we go.
And for her birthday, I bought her T-Pain tickets. And just like one day. Look, I don't know, man. I was feeling exhausted, tired, vulnerable, insecure.
I've already, if you don't know, Ally O'Neill is a 1 foot tall, like Irish, Boston, tough.
Yeah. Loudmouth,
like broad,
hilarious,
like a
broad,
funny, brassy, lady. Tatted up.
Yeah,
she'll cut you with a knife, and she's a sweet,
sweet,
hilarious. You know, spunky. I would even say. and just I didn't peg her as a deep end.
I know.
It's funny.
She's also like, you know, noticeably crazy about me. She's very good to me. And she is also like my, she has ADHD and I have depression. And part of what we're doing is like working on that for each other. And we're like trying to come to each other. And I don't know, man. I think this is an interesting thing to share on our podcast because I guess I haven't really ever said this in public. Just because like, I think our relationship is for us, but I think it's cool to share this. And my depression is bad, and I try to not put it on her, and she tries to not put her stuff on me. But then also, when you love someone, you like try to come to them, and she like I get scared that people are going to leave, and we talk about it, and so she's not like it's not. She's very open. Like I'm here for you. I'm not going anywhere. We talk about these things, you know? And in those moments where my brain goes haywire and I don't think I freak out, but I like talk about it. And she's always very there for me, very reassuring and all that shit. So yes, she's a big T-Pain fan. And it's also particularly funny that I did this next thing where I just like, I don't know, I had an insecure moment and I was like, I'm just going to tell her that I feel this. She's like getting all excited about the show. And I was like, baby, I got to tell you, I'm starting to feel jealous of T-Pain. and she's just like, what? Are you out of your fucking mind? Oh. And she was like, you know that. And I was like, yes, of course. And we had a very human, and she's like, okay, well, what are you feeling? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. And I was feeling this. I was like, well, you're like the hottest girl in the world. Mm-hmm. And he's going to like see you in the crowd and be like, come up here with me or whatever. And then you're going to leave me for deep. And she's just like, that's so insane. Like, she's like, I wouldn't do that. And that would never happen. And then we laughed about it for a very long time.
Well, I think about this too, because I've had similar embarrassing feelings.
We all have these feelings.
But I do imagine, because it's more, I think it's super common for straight women to be super into a male musical artist and go see them live and really like them a lot. And maybe for the boyfriend, straight boyfriend to be like, you know, she want to fuck that guy. But I do wonder how it would be. Like, it does seem like straight dudes aren't as often obsessed with a female artist. Yeah.
It's true.
That they want to go see live or see several times live.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Or especially if they're a good looking, and there aren't really a lot of bad looking famous singers.
That's true.
But if you kept going to see Avril Lavigne.
Just kept.
And you went with like an Avril shirt on. And
yeah, totally.
You know, I guess maybe at some point.
Yeah, there is something also about pop music is kind of inherently sexual or sexualized. Yeah. So maybe like, yeah, that's really funny. Like I'm super, super into Chapel Roan.
Yeah, you kept seeing Chapel Roan.
After a while, maybe be like, hey, do you want to fuck Chapel Roan? Like, no. Why? Why do you ask? Why do you ask that? I don't know. Why? I like to dance.
Dude, I saw a video. I couldn't believe it. It was one of those where you see how viral it went, and you're like, well, I got to see why this went so viral.
Yeah.
And it was a video of Janet Jackson calling up a dude onto the stage.
Oh.
Like 20 years ago or something. Like she looked much younger. And she's wearing like a skin-tight leather Catwoman suit.
Yeah.
So she invites like a guy who looks like 18 or 19. Like a guy who looks like a young man.
Yeah.
Invites him on stage. And, like, I think they make him sign something real quick. And then they strap him to a chair. And she, like, gives him, like, a lap dance during a song. It's, like, the craziest shit. The dude looks like he's going to pass out. Like, she's like, it's insane. And I can't imagine if you were like, I'm going to go see Janet Jackson. And then they...
And then she gives you a lap dance?
And then Ali O'Neill sees it.
Yeah, totally. Just imagine you go see Metallica. And then Kirk Hammett sucks your dick during Fade to Black. They make you sign a thing and they strap you to a chair.
Babe, what? I'm starting to feel like you're attracted to Janet Jackson. Why is that?
Why is that?
Well, there's a viral video of...
you having sex with her.
oh, so just because I had sex with Janet Jackson.
Yeah, totally.
Now you're jealous. Shit.
Yeah, so it, there's a video going viral of the Guar show you went to the other day. And you sucking all their toes. I do love thinking about it for a rock, how different that would be if, like,
yeah,
you seen an old video of, like, they call a guy up, Limp Bizkit calls a guy up on stage, and during break stuff, they beat the shit out of him. All right, so we are nearing the end of this episode of Billionaires Are Good.
The best podcast on earth.
Before we get to our final segment that we always do, I real quick want to bang through a list of companies owned by Berkshire Hathaway.
Oh, it's way more than you think.
It's and it's kind of genius. Warren Buffett like separated himself from being the owner of all these companies that you know.
Yeah.
So he's the owner of Berkshire Hathaway, but Berkshire Hathaway owns Geico, big Duracell, Helzberg Diamonds, Kraft Heinz, American Express, 18% of American Express, but that's still fucking a lot.
Pretty good.
BNSF, the fucking train company that like moves shit around the country. Home Services of America, that's real estate. McLean, which you've definitely seen, McLean Trucks. They're like a trucking company. Pilot, Flying J, the chain of truck stops. And Dairy Queen.
So he could shut down America if he was just like, all my companies are closed.
Yeah. I'm bored. I'm going to bed.
Good luck without dairy.
That means
trucks, trains, or homes.
That means that his least favorite great grandkid gets Duracell. That's wild, dude.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah, dude. He's, good job, buddy.
And it's so smart to not be like, I own Duracell. He's just like, I run Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, totally. Oh, little old me. I'm just over here collecting tumbleweeds.
I live in Omaha and I own Berkshire.
Yeah, I own Berkshire Hathaway and I live in this covered wagon and I hang out with my two dogs.
I saw one of his investment strategies today was to, before you invest, to save up 6 months worth of living expenses. And that have that as your little emergency fund so that you can invest with stuff comfortably.
Oh.
So for him, 6 months of living expenses is around, I think, $80 million.
Okay. I'll do that in the next 6 months because I make enough money to live and save to live later. That's something about my life, that I make that amount of money. God damn it.
I know.
Warren Buffett.
How can I have six? What's it called? Here we go. What's it called? What's it called? No, he doesn't even know what it's
called? What's it called? All right, this week, the movie we're doing is Scarface. Every week we rename a movie, we do a little game with it to make it a little bit more interesting. If you want to jump in and rename stuff with us, follow us on X at Billionaires Pod or join our Discord. There's a link on billionairesaregood.com.
Hell yeah, you always do great. It's always super fun.
Everyone's also funny. And this week we're doing If Scarface Was a Disney Movie,
which I think would be good.
What would it be called? But before we get to that, we do have to do a little bit of research when it comes to the movie Scarface.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Jeffrey Wright Report.
The Jeffrey Wright Report. The Jeffrey Wright Report. The Jeffrey Wright Report.
So Jeffrey Wright is
not in Scarface.
But
I think he might have been 6 years old when that movie
was
made.
Yeah, I think it was a little before. But, you know, he does seem ageless to me.
Say hello to my little friend.
The Scarface guy.
First you get the power, then you get the money, then you get cast in Westworld.
All I've got is my balls and my word.
Jeffrey, that's the line for Al.
Oh, I thought everybody. Okay.
Okay. Hello. Did somebody order some milk?
This town's a big pussy. I'm trying to. Oh, oh my bad. That's another
fucking
one.
Jeffrey Wright as a 6-year-old kid. Just like, where's my super soaker?
He's always been that guy. So yeah, if Scarface was a Disney movie, number 10 here, It Was Just Austin on Twitter said Havana, Montana.
That's so great, dude.
Very good.
Coda Otan on Discord said 101 violations. That's so clever.
Seth Mills on Twitter said Up.
Yeah, that's great. Space Bimbo on Discord had Cocahontas. That's
solid shit.
Great, dude.
Larry Bilello on Twitter said Duck Rails.
That's great.
Duck Rails.
Like DuckTales.
Yeah.
But Rails.
Rails.
Cocaine. Exclamation Nick on Discord, number 5th with the White Lion King.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Carl Stoon on Discord said, say hello to my little mermaid.
Dude, wow. Damn, that is so clever.
Very good.
Says hello, comrades on Discord said, say goodbye to my little nephew. Damn, so funny.
Creed on Discord said, Tony Baloney's unbreakable balls.
Oh, and the Ricky shit this week, number 1 at It Was Just Austin on Twitter had The Sweet Life of Smack and Codeine.
I mean, that's incredible.
It's really, really
that is
fucking
good writing right
yeah,
there.
Hell yeah. Thank y'all so much.
We
you're
love
the best
you.
Fans in the goddamn world. Billionairesaregood.com. Go there for links to our Discord and our Patreon and our shop and all of our Instagrams and shit.
Yeah.
And before we leave you, on this fine Wednesday? Well,
whatever
it's a Monday
it
when it came out, but you know what I mean.
The Ben Shapiro's Beard Update.
Ooh, it is still there.
The Ben Shapiro's Beard Update.
That's right. Always is. Thank y'all so much. Lay on down.
Lay it down.
Be good to yourself. We'll see you next time.
I love you.
Bye. Billionaires are good.